the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We pray for Abuna Bishoy. He is having a severe cold, it seems, or some other respiratory illness. He's been suffering from that, as you know, since last week or the week before. And he just could not wait longer today because he was feeling quite weak. So we'll pray for him. Since the dawn of time, man has always understood that he was so limited and that he was suffering from his extreme vulnerability to the tides of time, to weakness, disease, death. Humanity understood this, even though it did not understand how that fit into a divine plan of any sort, per se. And so there were always these attempts of different religions at reaching beyond this limitedness, worshipping, for example, natural powers, religions and systems of religions that developed throughout history and different civilizations, different cultures, worship of fire or water or the sun or anything that seemed to be more powerful and beyond the grasp and the understanding of humanity. Whatever man didn't understand, he worshipped. But even in all of these religions and faiths that developed, all these human attempts at reaching beyond itself, in its widest imagination, in its wildest imagination, humanity did not understand or could not imagine that God can come and be human like it. Could not imagine the relationship that our Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal to us in his person, the incarnate Son of God, God who is still God but also man. And that is what we are here today to celebrate as part of our four-week cycle of the Advent season, the Annunciation of this good news to the Virgin Mary, as the one chosen to carry out, to help God. And I want to stop here for a second. Help God himself to fulfill this plan of salvation. The image that God created, which it says in the book of Genesis, that man was created in God's image. And this image was tarnished because of all of these false gods that humanity followed after and thought it will find a solution in it for its troubles. And humanity has gone so far away from God that for the previous 400 years, God did not even send any prophets to the people of Israel. We know this from the history of prophecy in Israel and the kind of transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that even the people that God has chosen, people of Israel, were so far away from God and understanding him, truly coming to know him, that it has been 400 years since God has sent them any prophets. St. Athanasius in his On the Incarnation, his wonderful book called On the Incarnation, gives the image or the analogy of a painter. A painter who painted an image of himself, or of his son, if you want to think of it that way, and that image has become so tarnished, so scratched up, so defaced, that in order to fix it, in order to return it back to representing faithfully its model, God had sent his only son, the model, in order for us to see once again what we're supposed to be like, what humanity is supposed to be like. Not just to come and to save us or to pay a debt or anything like that. Not just that. But in order to give us a living, consistent, visible, tangible, that which we have seen, which our eyes have heard, which we have touched, as we heard in the Catholic Epistle, of what humanity ought to be like when it's perfected and when it finds its fulfillment in God the Father. And so, we're no longer here speaking about as humanity did, for centuries and for most of its existence prior to the coming of the Lord, of a fearsome God, a faraway God, somebody that you fear like an evil boss, somebody that, humanity, even when it devised these deities and worshipped in different civilizations, they would pray, they would relate to God as somebody who is far away from them, somebody, a powerful force of nature, that you want to appease with sacrifices, and you want to relate to him as you relate to an evil boss, if you will. But no longer had God revealed himself to us this way, but he came to reveal himself to us as the incarnate Lord, God who became like us so that we can become like him. And as it says even in Psalm 90, I will be with him in affliction, I will rescue him and glorify him, and I will show unto him my salvation. David the prophet spoke this hundreds of years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't quite fully understand the way that we do now what it means to be with us in affliction and to glorify us and to rescue us and to show unto us his salvation. Because God did this fully in his incarnation, being with us in affliction in every step of the way, every pain that we experience, whether it's emotional or physical or psychological, whatever pain you might have experienced in your life or see others experience around you in your life now, our Lord Jesus Christ came and took it upon himself and experienced it fully, because he told us so. He came like us unto us in everything except for sin only. The only thing he was not like us in is sin, is departure from the divine will. And so he came to relate to us then not as a far away, fearsome God, but as a bride, as a bridegroom relates to his bride, as one of our strongest imageries in Scripture sets it up as, that Christ is our bridegroom and we are his bride. And speaking of bride and bridegroom, that is why we meditate so much in this month on the Holy Virgin Mary and her role in this plan of salvation. The Holy Virgin Mary was a virgin, and you hear this in the Gospel first thing. If you pay attention to the order of the words, you'll notice that's the first time St. Luke refers to the Holy Virgin Mary. He says that the angel of God was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to, not just to somebody named Mary, a young girl, a chaste one, no, to a virgin as her primary identity. The Virgin Mary is the primary identity of the Mother of God. And then he tells you later on, the virgin's name was Mary, as almost like an afterthought. Virginity. Let's think about that for a few minutes before we conclude today. The devil often comes and not necessarily or simply always give us a false idea about something to tempt us, but twists for us a good idea, just a little bit, so that he can take you away a little bit from the correct path. And I know it's not often that we speak of the devil that way. It may sound superstitious to some, but if you believe in the Archangel Michael, you believe in the devil too, because he's an angel. And the devil comes and tells you, here's what virginity means. It means this thing over here. If you don't do this thing over here, this particular act over here, you're a virgin. And twists it for you a little bit. Isolates, reduces virginity to a physical state, to a state of somebody's body and how they relate to themselves and how what they allow that to take place to them or not. But virginity is virginity of soul, virginity of mind, virginity of spirit. The Holy Virgin Mary, and we read about this in the Fathers, she was pure in a state of utter purity and expectation of the Lord, not just in her body. There were so many virgins and chaste ones. In fact, there is the apocryphal, Coptic tradition around the feast of the entry of the virgin into the temple. And it tells of how virgins, as it says in Psalm 44, follow after her into the temple. And some of our hymns that are we don't really sing anymore, like to associate those anonymous virgins with particular women in Scripture, like Mary Magdalene and others. Say that these were also virgins that followed after the Virgin Mary and were kind of, partners of her, friends of her, following her into the temple in her life of chastity. And so virginity in physical sense or being chaste is not really what it's all about. The Holy Virgin Mary was much more beyond that, because she was pure in body and soul and was in a state of constant expectation. And that is what we must think about today when we meditate on virginity and what it means for us. How many of us think of our souls, our spirits, as these pure gifts that are untarnished and that are presented to the Lord first and foremost, not sold out to various kinds of lusts and pleasures and interests and concerns and worries, whether these are attractive lusts or just concerns of life that worry us along the way. We heard last week from Abuna about being ourselves the gifts in this season to those around us. We being the gift of Christmas. But before we can be the gift of Christmas to anybody around us, we have to first of all think of ourselves as the gift to Christ the Lord himself. It's very appropriate, I think, as another thought, when you look at the icon of the Annunciation and you see the Holy Virgin Mary in her encounter with Archangel Gabriel, it almost seems that she's in a state of prayer. She's not just looking at an angel. She seems to be in a state of worship in the temple, praying. And it's quite appropriate that at the moment that God reveals his plan of salvation to the Holy Virgin Mary, it's the Holy Virgin Mary in this state of complete and perfect preparedness. Why? Because in prayer is when we are most vulnerable to God. In prayer is when we are most open to God's promises and expecting of what he will give us in return of his promises. And also in prayer is when we resemble our Lord Jesus Christ the most. Because, you know, that's why the Midnight Praise is given to us this month as this opportunity. And we haven't seen most of you in church the last couple of Saturdays. There's two more Saturdays that you can make this up. Not to me, I'm not counting, but God knows how dedicated you are in coming to these things. And why do we have these things? Why is it that the month of Kiyak has these long vigils with all of these songs? The church is not some kind of special committee that is sitting somewhere writing texts and saying, you will say this in this month and say that in that month. These are the natural and organic development of pious Christians just like yourself, who over centuries, very slowly and gradually, developed these long prayers in particular times of year because it meant something to them in this time of year. And so, for centuries of the church's existence, Christians, especially in our church, have felt that this time of year, as we expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is perfectly appropriate to do the following two things. To remember who is the Virgin Mary, so we praise her. All the additional hymns that we have on the Midnight Praise and during the month of Kiyak have to do with the Holy Virgin Mary. Hail to you, Mary, hail to you, Mary. And it's not just us that do that. All the other Eastern traditions have similar, not identical, but similar traditions that venerate the Holy Virgin Mary in this time of expectation, and also in August because of the fast of the Virgin Mary. So we meditate specifically because she gives us an example of what it means to be a pure and complete and utterly dedicated virgin, virginity of mind, virginity of soul, virginity of body also, but of the entire being. The Father looked from heaven and found no one like you. That's what it says in one of the hymns. He sent his only begotten and he took flesh from you. And we take this model, like I said, and even we hear about it when it comes to St. Paul. Paul, the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice that it's not just separated. It's not just that it's virtuous to deny oneself all sorts of things and to separate oneself and to be set apart from everybody else. That in itself is just privation. But it's separated what? Unto the gospel of God. So that's what we present ourselves as a gift in this season. To be this gift dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to start to cultivate in ourselves, seriously, a mode of earnest expectation, of prayer, of chastity of mind and heart and soul. And that is why, again, like I said, the Midnight Praises are given to us in this season in order to give us a taste of what this is like. Because it is in a state of prayer, in a state of praise, in a state of continuous thanksgiving that humanity is in its perfect condition of expectation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and humanity is living in the most perfect state that it was created for. We say in the Midnight Praise, he created man in his image and likeness that he may praise him, that he may praise him. Our entire existence is dedicated to a life of gratitude, a life of thanksgiving, a life of praise. And again, to bring it back to the theme for today and the Holy Virgin Mary as that example before us of all of what I've said, Yes, we want to be gifts this season, gifts to everyone around us. It's not just about giving things and bestowing material possessions on others. But before we can be a gift to anybody else, one more time, we have to be a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And imagine if you received a gift that was used, you know, opened up and torn, and already somebody looked through it and decided they don't want it, and now they're giving it to you. You would feel slighted in the least. And this is often what we do with our Lord Jesus Christ, giving to him our mind after it has been occupied with everything else. Giving to him our body after it has exhausted itself with everything else. People often say, well, I just don't have the energy or the time to pray at night. Well, because the whole day has been spent on energy, spent on everything else. Start first with God. That's just one simple example of what I'm talking about today. Presenting yourself as this untarnished, brand new, sparkling gift that you would like to receive, that you would like to give to your children, to your family, but now you give it as your soul to our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us in this with the example of the Holy Virgin Mary. To him be glory, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.